The Central Bank Rodeo gets underway today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us in the United States. Central bank leaders from around the world are in Jackson Hole, Wyoming today to hear U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke speak. And they're there to take part in a big central bankers convention and talk policy in this global economic recovery. Now, for his part, Bernanke's Fed has been trying to assure banks and stock markets that it does still have the tools to prevent the economy from falling back into recession. But there seems to be a difference of opinion over what to do next. Marketplace's John Dimsdale now with what the Fed can and can't do.
Lowering short-term interest rates is the Fed's usual tool to stimulate the economy, but that's not an option now since they're already zero. One idea is for the Fed to stop paying interest to banks that have parked their reserves at the Fed. The theory is that would force the banks to take the money out to find more profitable uses and maybe lend some of it. T. Rowe Price economist Alan Levinson says not necessarily.
They're just going to take the money and put it in other overnight and short-term assets. They're not going to lend it to you and me. They're too worried they're not going to get their money back.
One radical suggestion is for the Fed to force banks to lend by giving them currency that expires if they don't spend it. Wharton Business School professor Jeremy Siegel says that's a bad idea.
We know there are hundreds of billions of dollars held outside the U.S., people holding as safekeeping, and if there's any nervousness, there could be a terrible run on the dollar that could bring big disruptions.
With only weak options left, Fed watchers are wondering how can Ben Bernanke instill confidence that the Federal Reserve can rescue the economy, should it be necessary. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Ahead of Bernanke's comments, stock markets are being cautious. European markets are off by about 0.5% right now. Same, for the most part, for Asian shares today. Yesterday, the Nasdaq sank more than 1%. The Dow dipped below 10,000 and stayed there at the close, down 74 points to close at 99.85. A nearly two-week-long traffic jam in Beijing, China, is starting to ease up. Drivers can now get through in just a few hours instead of days. In the midst of that, a Beijing suburb has announced it's soon going to begin testing a new futuristic bus that would be built on tall legs, allowing passengers to travel above all the cars on the highway. No, it's not a joke. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports.
The vehicle travels on rails and straddles two lanes of traffic, allowing cars to drive 15 feet below where its passengers sit. It'll hold 1,200 people and travel up to 50 miles per hour. Its $7.5 million price tag is roughly one-tenth of what it costs to build a subway of the same length. It wasn't bad timing for Songyo Zhou. The inventor rolled out the blueprints of his 3D express bus the same week that Beijing's epic traffic jam made international headlines. Song says his company will lay a few miles of track for the bus in the Beijing suburb of Mentougou next year. If the pilot project works, says Song, he'll add another 100 miles of track. But not everyone likes this idea. Transportation expert Oh Guo Li says Beijing traffic is already dangerous. This bus will just make it worse. He doubts it'll be the perfect solution. Something's got to be done, though, says Oh, to ease traffic congestion. An additional 350 million people are expected to move to China's cities in the next 15 years. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Want to see what the bus looks like? We have links at marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0.
People inside and outside of New Orleans think the city's recovery after Hurricane Katrina has been slow and uneven. 5 years after the devastating storm, Marketplace's Eve Troh checked out the Big Easy with the man who heads up the government's rebuilding efforts there.
Omid Sate describes his agency's goal like this.
Trying to build pockets of strength and doing it everywhere.
Sate directs the New Orleans Redevelopment Authority. He took me on a city recovery tour. Our first stop was St. Claude Avenue. The wide street divides two neighborhoods called the Bywater and St. Rock. One's doing well, the other flooded, and it's lagging. Sate's pushing the city to restore a streetcar line down the middle.
So this is actually the old streetcar named Desire Line. as that streetcar line comes back, we think that this, again, will become a much more desirable place for people to invest and live in.
Convincing residents is just one part of the equation. Project investors are another. Sate spends a lot of time on the phone arranging deals.
Well, go ahead and submit it. We're going to extend the deadline.
But that's why we got the subsidies in there.
He admires the individual homeowners who rebuilt. They got New Orleans back on its feet. But to grow from here, he says the city needs to solve the puzzle of large-scale development.
It's much cheaper to build 20 or 30 or 40 houses at a time than it is to build one. But you can't either get financing or identify demand ahead of time for all of those properties. And so people are forced to build a few at a time, which makes their costs go up, which makes it harder to find buyers.
Sate drives across a drawbridge to the lower Ninth Ward. This area flooded more than 10 feet. Now a new flood wall is in place, and right behind it,
we see four houses built right behind us.
Behind where the levee breach was, couldn't pick a more illogical location for four homes to go. There's not another house within blocks of these. They're right next to what is a dump.
Sate says no government subsidy went into this project. It's
private investors choosing to put these homes up and people choosing to live there.
He says speculators can buy property in flooded areas for cheap and rent it. But Sate's agency wants to restore home ownership to these areas. And this may be the main conflict of rebuilding. Government aiming for the top, while the real estate market races to the bottom. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, a survey out this week says a third of teenagers on Facebook are ready to unfriend mom or dad. The research from AOL and Nielsen shows kids see the web as a way to get away from their parents and not be vulnerable to dad's cute stories or mom's embarrassing pictures. 16% of teens say they're leaving Facebook now that their parents have joined. Another 14% say there are way too many adults there anyway, to which the adults say, as long as we're paying for your internet and computers, we'll go on whatever site we want, because we said so. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiotakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.